Listening to this message from Valley Bible Fellowship. It is our sincere prayer that you're richly blessed through the ministry of the Word. For more information about VBF, visit our website at vbf.org.
Today, we are pleased to announce our guest speaker. It is Nicole Dickey. She has worked. Yes, I know. Those of you guys who know already know she's worked with as Pastor Ron's assistant for the past 11 years. She has recently chosen and been made the director of our women's ministry. She does so much here over the past 22 years. She's worked with mega churches all over the United States and has a master's degree in theological studies. She's a killer, you guys. She also is married to her childhood friend. They've been together and have a daughter and two sons. They choose to live in Bakersfield and raise their family here at VBF. It's VBF's very own Nicole Dickey. Give it up for her, you guys.
Thanks, J2. Good morning. Happy 3rd of July. I feel like with all the festivities that have been going on around my house on July 1st, July 2nd, probably tonight on July 3rd, we should have a holiday every day this weekend, right? We bought our fireworks on Friday and at our Northwest campus booth, and my boys have been like, we want to set them off right now. And I'm like, you guys, we can't. We have to wait till the 4th of July. And they're like, why? Our entire neighborhood is setting them off right now. Why can't we? And I'm like, they're not helping me at all, trying to make them wait. But my husband is actually, it seems like every 4th of July weekend or over the time, he is a doctor and he is in the hospital working. And to be fair, I actually love this time of year when he's working in the hospital because he comes home with the craziest stories. Like Bakersfield and our fireworks, we're a little bit nuts. And so he'll come home and you're like, you're not going to believe what somebody did. And so if you plan on some crazy things tonight or tomorrow and you end up in the ER, just say hi to my husband. But let's hope we all end up with all 10 fingers, right, at the end of our celebration. But we do have something to celebrate, right? I mean, we live in the United States of America. We are a free country. And you know what? I love a good celebration. And I feel like we have something to celebrate. But to be fair, like through the pandemic, I have found that I have struggled a little bit with this word freedom. Because I feel like maybe some of my freedoms were stripped away for periods of time. And so I found myself longing not only to just say, like, I'm free, I live in the United States of America, but to feel free. Like, I wanted to feel free. And this tug of war. And so it kind of got me thinking, like, what is this definition of freedom that we use in our basic dictionary? And it's this. Freedom is the condition or right of being able or allowed to do, say, think, etc., whatever you want to without being controlled or limited. And my brain says, yes, that's freedom. But with that same definition, my soul cringes a little bit. And let me tell you why. Why? Because I know when I am left to my own devices to do what I want, say what I want, when I want, usually that leads to living a life of self. And living a life of self usually never ends up good for me. We aren't born perfect. I know that's hard to believe, but if you have raised kids or have been around raising kids, you know you are not born perfect. My boys have now been together for a whole month straight, and that makes me so love school because that little bit of separation allows them to love each other in the afternoons or evenings, but now they haven't left each other for a month, and I am telling you what, they know each other's buttons, and we are having wrestling matches that turn to crying and fits and everything else. Every moment of the day. In fact, one is with me here at this campus with my husband working. The other one I sent with his grandma and grandpa to the Northwest campus because I'm like, you guys need to separate. Figure out what it's like. Maybe absence will make the heart grow fonder again. But I never have to teach my boys how to lie, how to raise a fist to your brother. I never have to teach them how to think about self. No, it's just a natural inclination. Instead, I'm teaching them how to tell the truth. I'm teaching them how to use their words and not fight. I'm teaching them how to think of somebody else outside of themselves. And I wish I could say that once you master it when they're little, like, I don't deal with that as an adult because I learned that when I was little. But the truth of it is I'm still battling that myself. I'm always fighting against self. I have what I should do, but then I have what I want to do. And which one wins out the most? What I should do or what I want to do? And this idea of freedom being doing what I want when I want to do it, I understand that that leads to doing my own self, to living for my flesh. And I know that living for my flesh leads to sin. And then I know that Romans 6:23 says the wages of sin is death. And I'm like, wait a minute. I'm not living to die. I'm living to live. So how do I understand this definition of freedom when Christ says, I have come to set the captives free. I have come to set you free. For freedom, I am here. And I think one of the things I want to establish right off the bat today is this idea that my personal independence, my liberties as a United States citizen does not actually define my freedom in Christ. One is an outward thing and one is an internal thing. And today I want to talk about what it means to be free in Christ in the internal. Because it matters. It's going to change the way we live. Because if we look at the Greek word of free and freedom and all the verses we're going to go over today, that Greek word is this, eleuthero. And it means to set free, release from bondage, to remove the restriction of sin, unbound, unshackled, free to realize one's identity in Christ. See, when I sum that up, being free in Christ is not the right to do what I want, but the ability to do what I ought. Can I say that again for you guys today? It's not the right to do what I want, but the ability to do what I ought. Galatians 5:1 says, for freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. For freedom Christ has set you free. 2 Corinthians 3:17, a verse that I hope that you have memorized by the time we finish today, is now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Freedom. What does that definition truly mean? Like, how does this play out in my life? How is this going to actually be applied? Well, I want to talk to you guys today about what freedom sounds like. What does the ring of freedom actually sound like in the definition of the scriptures? And when I see now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom, I see a trusting relationship with mutual love. Freedom sounds like a trusting relationship with mutual love. You see, when we look at Galatians 5:1, it says, for freedom Christ has set us free. God designed us to be free. He actually desired you to have freedom. And you know what? I'll be honest. Since the beginning of the time, the devil's been trying to enslave you. It's what he did to Adam and Eve in the beginning. The idea is he can keep you in shackles, then you will never realize your identity in Christ, your destiny with him. And so many of us, we have these shackles, and some of us are big shackles, some of us are little shackles, some of us are mini shackles. And we look at these things, and the moment we get a hand free and we're like, yes, okay, I'm going to get free from that, what does the enemy do? He hits you with shame. And all of a sudden you're like, oh, let me put my hand back in there. And what do I mean by that? It's that idea of like, okay, I finally gone a week without gossiping. I finally gone a week without drinking. I finally gone a week without smoking. I finally got a week with making sure my attitude's right. I finally did a week with respecting my spouse. And then all of a sudden the devil hits you and goes, do you really think that you can go even another day? Do you not know how many times you've tried this and you've been right back in? You really think you can break that generational curse that you're the only one in the family that can actually break that? And we start believing those lies, and we're like, yeah, you're right. We put our hand right back in. But the truth of the matter is when we hear that, that is not God's voice. That's the enemy trying to make sure we're shackled. Why? Because God is not a God of shame. He's a God of restoration. He's a God of redemption, and he's a God of love. And being able to identify that voice right off the bat lets us know that this is not the God we serve. 2 Corinthians 3:17, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Freedom is part of relationship with God. It's part of the nature of God. And when we are in community with God, it is something, it's a gift that we get to receive from him. But like anything, like a relationship, we get to receive it. God doesn't force it upon us. He is a gentleman. We get to take it. We get to receive it. Freedom is meant to be in community. Do you remember the first time you got your independence for the first time? I remember I was raised in Indiana between four cornfields. And my mom had to go to the grocery store. And to go to the grocery store and do the weekly shopping, it was going to be a couple-hour jaunt. And she's like, are you okay by yourself? And I'm 12 years old. I'm like, I got this. I mean, I was like, yes, absolutely. I'm going to eat what I want, watch what I want, do what I want. My first little dose of complete independence and freedom. And I will tell you what, it wasn't more than a couple minutes. My mom pulling out of the long driveway, heading into town, that all of a sudden I heard some crazy sounds, things that I had never heard before. I was convinced that things were going to come out of the cornfields and get me. And guys, I didn't even watch scary movies. It just was natural, you know, like things come out of the cornfields, right? And I remember my mom pulling back into the driveway. She came into the house, and I kid you not, I was sitting in the Lazy Boy, and I had my Bible against my heart and a frying pan over my head. And that is how I was almost the entire 2 hours my mom was gone. I don't know what I was going to do. I was either going to save them or knock the snot out of them, or vice versa. I don't know. But I knew the Bible held power, and I knew the frying pan was the only weapon available to me at the moment. So that was my plan. But what I did realize is that my freedom wasn't so great when I was all alone. I want that in community, and Christ wants that in community with us. It's a part of him. It's part of the blessing that we get to partake, is to receive the freedom with him. As we continue on, there's this verse in Romans 6:7 that says, "For one who has died has been set free from sin." And when I hear that, to me, freedom sounds like sacrifice. So often we know freedom takes sacrifice. It's never been free. We acknowledge that. We acknowledge all the soldiers that fought for our freedom. But did you ever think about the 56 signatures that sit on the Declaration of Independence? Because that's really what we celebrate on the 4th of July, right? The signing of the Declaration of Independence. But of those 56 men that signed it, 5 were captured by the British and tortured before they died. 12 had their homes ransacked and burned. 2 lost their sons in the Revolutionary Army. Another had 2 sons captured. 9 of the 56 fought and died from wounds or hardships of the war. 1 had all his wealth taken away by the British and died in poverty. 1 had his home open fired upon, destroying everything he had. 1 man by the name of John Hart, that signed his name on the Declaration of Independence, was driven by his wife's bedside when she was dying. His 13 children fled for their lives. His entire fields and mill were destroyed. He lived in caves and in the forest for over a year. And when he was finally able to come back home, he found his wife dead, his 13 kids vanished, and he died a week later out of pure exhaustion for putting your name on that Declaration of Independence. And the same is true with our freedom in Christ. It came at a price. The blood of Jesus was shed so that we could be free. A price was paid for it. And we understand where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. The price has been paid so that the Holy Spirit, that Spirit of the Lord is the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit comes and lives within us, the Holy Spirit can only live within us by the bloodshed of Jesus Christ. And because of that, we have him, and we have the freedom. But then I go back to that verse we just went over in Romans, and it says, "For one who has died has been set free from sin." For one who has died, there is a price that's been paid, but there is a price to be paid. And you know what that is? For us, it's dying to self. When we die to self, we are able to receive that freedom. Why does the scriptures talk so much about dying to self? It's all over the Bible. Well, 1 Corinthians 6:12 says this, "Just because something is technically legal doesn't mean it's spiritually appropriate. If I went around doing whatever I thought I could get by with, I'd be a slave to my whims." See, freedom in this verse sounds like a release from bondage. Freedom in Christ, where the shackles are taken off so you can dance. Anybody listen to Christian music in the year 2000? Yeah? You know what comes next. So we can praise him, right? That's a good song if you want to listen to it, right? But it's real, actually. When we are released from bondage and we have the shackles that come off of us, we can't help but praise God. Have you ever been controlled by something and then no longer it's there because God has released you from that? He has taken over those shackles. You know it's real if that's happened to you. It's very much possible. But there's something interesting about bondage, and I relate it back to this idea of elephants. We don't do this anymore, but when we used to have elephants in captivity, you would see this giant elephant with this small little rope around his ankle and just a peg in the ground. And you're like, what is going on? Like, that's a massive elephant. There's no way. There's no cages. There's no big chains. And he's just standing there. Well, what they would do is when the elephant was really little and tiny, with not much strength, they would take that same size rope and that same size peg, and they would put it in the ground. And they would try and break free, and they couldn't. They weren't strong enough. But as the elephant grew older and stronger and much, much bigger, it never tried it again. It always thought, well, it held me once. It will still hold me now. So therefore, it believed that the rope could still hold them, and so it never broke free. And that was a tactic they used for elephants in captivity for the longest time. And how true is that for us? So often, from the small things to the big things, we have these like shackles that kind of control us, and we're kind of like, they are what they are. They've been there for a decade. It's not going to go anywhere. And we're like, you know, but as we grow stronger and we grow more equipped in the Lord, we just keep going, Lord, I'll praise you. And we keep walking around this big shackle on our leg because we're like, you know, it's just there. It's just part of me. And then all of a sudden, as we grow stronger and God's like, hey, by the way, like I'm so much bigger than that. And he goes to the key with that, and we're like, no, thanks, God. Like, I'll praise you, but I am totally good with this right here. Like, I'm used to it. I know how to deal with this area of sin in my life. I don't really want to give that up. And I have to tell you guys, sometimes we are so comfortable with our ropes. But Paul wrote in Galatians 5:13, he said, for you were called to freedom. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. Freedom today sounds like, yeah, it's a great verse. It sounds like mercy and grace. Mercy and grace. You see, mercy is not getting something you do deserve. Grace is getting something you don't deserve. When we are followers of Jesus, you see, mercy saves us from death, from eternity of hell. But grace grants us the ability to spend eternity in heaven with our Creator. And those are two beautiful things that are gifts from God. But the devil's always going to downplay that. He's always going to be like, mercy, grace. I have to tell you guys something that hits me rather hard. And that's in when you love God, when you're praising him, but you don't allow him to remove the shackles off of you. Did you know you exploit God? You exploit God when you take advantage of his mercy and his grace to do something for self. Years ago, I have two other sisters, and we all lived together in Orlando, Florida, and my parents lived like 2 hours north, and they came down to take us out on a Saturday for dinner. We had a fourth roommate, because obviously if you're going to pay rent in Orlando, you got to pack in as many girls as you could. And as our parents came down that Saturday night, the fourth roommate is sitting on the couch, and my parents said, hey, you're coming to dinner with us too. Tonight, you're one of the girls. Come with us. So we go, and we're having dinner as a family with our fourth roommate, and as we sit down at the table, mom and dad say, hey, check's on us. We're paying the bill today. We want to cover this. This is our treat. You know, it wasn't like a fancy restaurant, but it wasn't like fast food either. But we go around the table and we order chicken strips. We order the cheeseburger, all the basic things. And then it got to this fourth roommate, and she looks up at the waiter and she goes, I'll take the crab legs, please. And we're all like, what? I didn't even know there were crab legs on this menu. And I'm browsing the menu real quick because I want to see how much this is going to cost my mom and dad. And you see those two dreaded words, market price. And I don't know about you guys, but every time I see market price, I think, and I'm pretty set on this, I think that that waiter looks you up and down and goes, how much can I put on this bill? If you don't ask, they're going to be like, how high can I make this price? Because all I see is cha-ching, cha-ching, cha-ching. And after we were done eating our cheeseburgers and our chicken strips, she's still sitting there cracking her crab legs. still to this day, if we go out as a family and somebody says, hey, I got the tab, one of us will go, hey, where's the crab legs? Like, it's a running joke in our family. But before you go, wow, the gall of that girl, I have to tell you, we do the same thing to Jesus. We do the same thing to Jesus. You see, when we live a life of sin intentionally, and then we go, but Jesus still loves me. Have you heard that? Oh, I've heard that a lot. Jesus still loves me. And I want to look at my friends that say that to me, and I go, you are exactly right. Jesus does still love you. But are you truly willing to take advantage of his mercy and grace? Just because the bill has already been paid, are you willing to up the price? Because at that moment, when we sin intentionally, taking advantage of God's mercy and grace, then we become no different than those people that hammer Jesus' hands into the cross. We put the hammer in our own hands. And you guys, I am a sinner. Like, I am falling short of the glory of God on a day-to-day basis. I am saved by the grace and the mercy of God. And I will tell you what, I have opportunities every day to sin intentionally. And the moment I do, and I go, man, I could just tell that white lie and nobody would even know, and I could just say it's done and I'll do it right now even though it's not done, and I get sick to my stomach. Like, when I really think about it, I get sick to my stomach because I'm like, man, am I really willing to up the price knowing the bill's already been paid? Peter wrote in 1 Peter 2:16, live as people who are free, not using your freedom as cover up for evil, but living as servants of God. Freedom in the scriptures always has to be followed with mercy and grace. Why? Because we will fail. We are not perfect. We need mercy and grace in order to pick ourselves back up. But we are like trapeze artists. We are supposed to be flying and being free with Christ, right? And we have this net of mercy and grace underneath us. Thank you, Jesus, that he has put that there. But we weren't intended to actually walk on the net of mercy and grace. We were intended to soar and to fly and have freedom with Christ. We can't live on that net going, I'm going to take advantage of this mercy and grace and just walk here. That's not what we were intended to do. But we need the net, right? I think of it a little bit like a guitar string. When I got this guitar string out, my boys, 6 and 8, they said, Mom, it's alive. And I said, it kind of looks like that, right? It looks like it's alive. Like, I can kind of nudge this edge and it reacts over here, and we're going to pretend like it's alive. Can we use our little imaginations today? When we think about freedom, this guitar string is free to move in whatever direction it likes. I can twist one end and it will respond. But can I tell you, no matter what I do, this guitar string is not free to sing. It's not free to make beautiful music. But something happens when it's placed in the tension of a guitar. It can actually live out its true calling when it is put in the tension of the guitar. And it is actually free for the first time to sing. And when we think about freedom, I think that's the true sound of freedom. We go back to that Greek definition we went over in the beginning, and it said to realize one's identity in Christ, to realize one's destiny in Christ. Sometimes we have to be okay with the bounds because we look and we go, hey, I don't want to go live over there because I know that that may look like freedom to the world, but that will enslave me. That's there to capture me. One thing I know is that the road paved away from God, it looks great, it looks fun, and I will tell you this, you guys, usually it is smoothly paved with few hardships, but you may be going in a direction you don't want to go. Instead of being within the bounds of that true freedom and being able to live out your true destiny. And I think Jesus' words, I love looking at the red letters in the Bible because I feel like all this can be reiterated by Jesus' own words. And so I'm going to bring to you today a story in John 8, verses 31 through 41. Verses 31 says, Jesus said to the people who believed in him, let's stop there. Jesus said to the people who believed in him, these are the followers of Jesus. They are people that have seen his miracles. They are people that have followed him. They have seen him. But we're going to see that these people don't quite know him. So we're going to call these followers people that just, they show up at church. They're hearing about Jesus. We're going to call them the churchgoers. Jesus says to these churchgoers, these followers of him, his, he says, "You are truly my disciples if you remain faithful to my teachings. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Did you know a disciple is somebody who's disciplined? We want to be a disciple until the word discipline comes in, and we're like, oh, okay. So I'm trying to make sure my heart's ready for that if I really want to be a true disciple of Jesus, I have to be okay with discipline. And here Jesus gives an actual beautiful example. There is a flow chart he puts here. You see, he says, if you're truly my disciples, you will remain faithful to my teachings. If you are a disciple, you will remain faithful to God's word. We have the Bible today. At the time, they had the teachings of Jesus as he walked around. We have the scriptures. If you want to be a disciple, be faithful to God's word. Not just read it, but be faithful and obedient to it. But if you're faithful to God's word, he says, and you will know the truth. You will know the truth. And perhaps you're like, that is perfect. I would love to know the ultimate truth. I mean, how often do we search the ultimate truth in life? Well, maybe we can go to John 14, 6 that says, where Jesus says, "I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life." In other words, what Jesus is saying here is, if you are faithful to God's word, if you get to know the word of God, you will know the truth. You will know your Savior. You will know Jesus. And by the way, if you know Jesus, you will experience freedom. And I have found that true in my own life. The closer I get to knowing my Savior, the closer I truly become free. Because I can't keep going and getting close to him and bringing these shackles with me. Eventually, he starts going for the key, and I have to let him. And we find freedom together. Verse 33, the people say this to Jesus, "But we are the descendants of Abraham," they said. "We have never been slaves to anyone. What do you mean you will be set free?" And this is no difference than us going, if I'm up here talking about freedom and you go, "Nicole, that's great, but I'm a United States citizen. I am free. I do what I want when I want to do it. I am the definition of freedom. What do you mean you're going to set me free?" Which, by the way, I have to laugh at these Jewish men saying, "We've never been slaves to anyone," because I'm like, have you ever read the book of Exodus? Like, you know, there was this whole time where the Egyptians kind of, you were enslaved to them. And by the way, like, there's all these other battles that we see that they were enslaved to many other people. And in fact, right here in the scriptures, Israel is being run by Rome. Rome was over them. But they say, oh, we've never been enslaved to anyone. But Jesus replied to them in verse 34, "I tell you the truth, everyone who sins is a slave of sin. A slave is not a permanent member of the family, but a son is part of the family forever. So if the son sets you free, you are truly free." The devil's intention of sin is not for you to have a good time. It's a bait and switch to enslave you. Where the world looks like you can do whatever you want, come, have fun. And you're like, no, I know what that's going to mean for me. I know what that's going to mean. I know that that is there just to capture me. And I love what Christ is saying here. He's saying, I'm not here for you to be my slave. The devil wants you to be his slave. I don't want you to be my slave. I want you to be my son and my daughter. I want there to be relationship here. And where there's relationship, you will find freedom with your Creator. How beautiful is that? Jesus goes on to say to them in verse 37, "Yes, I realize that you are descendants of Abraham, and yet some of you are trying to kill me because there's no room in your hearts for my message. I am telling you that what I saw when I was with my father, but you are following the advice of your father." "Our father is Abraham," they declared. "Nope," Jesus replied, "for if you were really the children of Abraham, you would follow his example. Instead, you are trying to kill me because I told you the truth, which I heard from God. Abraham never did such a thing. No, you are imitating your real father." These are followers of Jesus that are trying to kill him. They have seen the miracles. They know of him. They have visibly seen it, and yet they are trying to kill him. because Jesus says, you have no room in your heart for what I am actually teaching. And so often as churchgoers, as we see the Spirit, we see people get free, and we still justify our own sin. We still argue the Word of God because we have no room in our heart for what Jesus is actually saying. And I have to tell you, I think the reason why is the longer you are in captivity, the more you listen to your captor's voice than you do your Father's voice. And that is what's happening to these Jewish men right here. They have lived with their shackles for so long that they're listening to what Jesus says is their real father, somebody they listen to over their heavenly father, and that is the devil himself, because they are trying to kill him. And I look at this and I say, man, how much is that like me when I try and I choose to intentionally sin and I put that hammer in my hand where I actually could be the one killing Jesus because I'm okay sinning. I'm okay upping the price. When we understand this verse about where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom, we have to understand that there's a difference between the knowledge of Christ versus the Spirit of Christ. The knowledge of Christ is where these people sit right here. They knew God, but they didn't have the Spirit living within them, because the Spirit living within them brings freedom. And I love this, because even though they were trying to kill him, Jesus looked right at them and said, I want to set you free. And I think that's so cool, because even though I can sometimes intentionally sin, Jesus looks at me and says, hey, I want to set you free from that. He doesn't present me with condemnation or shame, but of a way to have restoration. And when I look at that, to me, like, freedom sounds like a loving relationship where sacrifice exists on both parts, where shackles don't exist, where mercy and grace flow. But you know what I think freedom looks like? It looks like this. It looks like a wedding ring. That's what freedom looks like. And let me tell you, I never thought I was going to wear one of these things. I am a type A woman. I am like, I went through seminary, got my master's as a single female, and then I read those scriptures about wives, submit to your husbands, and I'm like, I don't know. If I have to obey this, maybe it's just better I don't get married. I was just like, Lord, I'm okay submitting to you. We can go and we can do things. And I had moved from Indiana to work at a church in Florida, from Florida to work at a church in LA. And I was like, I love going and doing things, but we throw somebody else in the mix, Lord, and I got to run things by them. And I just don't know. But then I read that first part of the verse where it says, wives submit to your husbands. Right before that, it says, men, love your wives as Christ loves the church. And I go, oh, wait, maybe I can find a man who loves me like that. And then I would desire to submit. I would desire. I would crave. And I did. I re-met my childhood friend. And you know what I loved about him? He loved Jesus way more than he loved me. And when I saw that, when I saw he was always going to love Jesus more than he loved me, I thought, all right. And I will tell you to this day, guys, I have an amazing marriage. I'm crazy about my husband. And I have no problem submitting to him because he loves me. He cares for me. He treats me as a partner. That's a healthy marriage. But then did you know that we, in the scriptures, are considered the bride of Christ? Men, you get to be a bride for a moment, okay? I know it seems a little bit weird, but even you are considered the bride of Christ. We are the bride of Christ. And when I look at being the bride of Christ, that's what freedom looks like, because there's a relationship there. I don't look as a bride of Christ as I'm his shackle and he's mine, right? Like, people are like, oh, it's my ball and chain. No, actually, I choose to be there. I choose to be the bride of Christ. I choose to be there because I know what it could be on the other side. And I think that that's all a facade. It's a bait and switch. I actually have found freedom. I have found my identity in being the bride of Christ. And there are gifts that flow from that, right? When you are the bride of Christ, when we are married to Christ and we find our freedom there, we have so many gifts. We have freedom from guilt. We have freedom from shame. We have freedom from condemnation. We have freedom from worry. We have freedom from fear. We have freedom from a wasted life. You guys, we have freedom from death. We have freedom from death, being the bride of Christ. But I think so often, like, freedom starts from within. It's interesting to me, like, when Abraham Lincoln signed the Emancipation Proclamation, he signed this legal document, but for much of the world at the time, it meant nothing. Or the United States, it meant nothing. Why? Because they didn't know that he signed it. And so for the next 6 months, soldiers would go through towns carrying hundreds of thousands of copies of the proclamation so that people could be told that they're free so that they would live free. And I think so often some of us need to be told, hey, you're free. You're free. And so if I've got a sister in here who's maybe in adultery, and I can look at her and say, hey, did you know that you don't have to live like that anymore, that Christ sets you free? To my brother that's addicted to porn, I could say, did you know the price has already been paid for that? You don't have to live like that anymore. You are free. To my friend who's maybe shackled and crippled with anxiety, I could say, hey, that anxiety has become your shackles, but Christ has the key. If you would just allow him to help you through that, he will bring you freedom. Sometimes we need to proclaim it. We need to proclaim freedom, that there is freedom in Christ in relationship with him. And it's that whole idea of living with the knowledge of Christ versus living with the Spirit of Christ. Some of us have a friend or a family member who keeps pulling us into that old lifestyle that we are trying to get away from. It's that idea, we finally get a foot out of that shackle, and then they call us and say, you want to go out on this Friday night? And we're like, oh, I need to get free from that. And maybe you need to set their name in your contacts on your phone as freedom. So that way, the next time they call and your phone is ringing and someone says, are you going to get that? You're like, no, I'm just going to let freedom ring. I'm just going to let freedom ring today. But there's some truth to it. Sometimes we have to say, enough is enough, and I am free, and I know that Christ will be with me. I know that there's a process, guys. I'm not saying you're free and then everything's great, you walk away in the next moment, but I'm saying we walk with God and things start changing. 2 Corinthians 3:17. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. There is freedom. You guys, we are free on the outside, living as a citizen of the United States of America, but God's like, I also made you free on the inside. And it's time to start living like that. And if you're living a life of sin and you're like, I don't feel any conviction, Nikki, I'm sorry, I'm good with it. I'm good with my shackle. I'm going to tell you, invite the Holy Spirit to come live in your life and see what happens from there. I'm going to end you with some of the one passage of the red letters of the Bible, Jesus' own words. Luke 4:18-19. And this is right after Jesus himself was tempted by the enemy in the desert, and he survives the temptation. He doesn't give in. He doesn't allow the enemy to shackle him at all. And he comes into the temple and he says this. He gives his mission statement. God's Spirit is on me. He's chosen me to preach the message of good news to the poor. Sent me to announce pardon to the prisoners and recovery of sight to the blind, to set the burdened and battered free, and to announce this is God's time to shine. I love that. Amen, right? You guys, it's God's time to shine. So are we ready to live free? Are we ready? There's a whole new spin on the celebration tomorrow. We not only celebrate the fact we live in the United States of America and we are free, but we celebrate that we are free, truly free indeed. Let's pray. Lord God, we come before you and we thank you, Lord. Thank you that you have died on the cross so that we can be free. Thank you that you don't want us as your slaves, but you want us as our sons and our daughters. And Holy Spirit, we invite you into this place. We invite you into our lives. Lord, show us the areas where we've been walking around with these shackles and we've just made it part of our day-to-day routine, Lord. Because we don't want to do that, Lord. We want to be free. Thank you, Lord, that you have given us a destiny and a purpose with you because you are such a good, good Father. We love you, Lord Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. Thank you, guys. Have a great 4th of July.
Thank you for listening. We pray that this message has ministered to your heart. If you don't already have a church you call home, we invite you to join us at Valley Bible Fellowship for worship, Bible study, fellowship, and more. We're at 2300 East Brundage Lane in Bakersfield, California, near Mount Vernon and Freeway 58. Reach us by phone at 661-325-2251 or visit our website at vbf.org. Here is our King, here is our love, here is our